Hey, sorry everybody, we're just checking for quorum. Councillor Filmer won't be attending this meeting. He sends his regrets. He is tied up elsewhere. So I am chairing the meeting, I guess, today. So I'm just going to jump right in because we're a little bit behind already. Any comments on the agenda?
Can I add one thing? I'd just like an update on hangar construction at the end.
Thanks. So, would anybody like to move to adopt the agenda? Don't be shy.
Go ahead, Mike, you move.
Michael, move.
Pardon?
You need somebody to adopt the agenda.
Sure, I'll move.
Mike moves. Do we have a seconder? Ian second. And I think in your package you should have also had the minutes that came along with the agenda. Any comments on the minutes? Being none, would somebody like to move to adopt the minutes?
Sure.
Paul, a seconder? In again. Active participation. Item 3 on the agenda, recommendation from council. So this was a result of the bylaw changes from 457.05 to 457.12, an update on the rates. This went to council for first and second reading. I did send out a notification to everyone on what the changes actually were. I did not get any replies. It went back to council for third reading. They are ready to pass this, but Councillor Filmer had promised that we would once again discuss it here. So this is the opportunity, and if anyone has any comments, now is the time.
I'm just wondering if we ever came to any conclusion about how off-airport businesses were going to be charged. I know that was a topic of discussion on our last one, and I think it was kind of left still up in the air that for visiting companies, other than the ones who, you know, stop by and register or something with the town, like how they're going to be tracked and billed, because the bylaw does state that any off-airport business is going to be charged that monthly fee. But we've never come up with a way of how to actually do that.
That is correct, and my intent is if we see a company using the airport, they will receive a bill. If we are aware or if somebody at the airport informs us that there is an off-site company using the airport, we will send them a bill. That is the intent. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, I will move on. Number 4, business arising from the minutes. So from the past minutes, we have any questions or anything that people would like to go through. So I'm going to start, I'll open it up after, but I'll start with Jeff, review of the proposed noise abatement procedures with Transport Canada.
Okay, I think most of you might be aware that our proposed noise abatement procedures, which we all agreed to, was, I'm going to use the word rejected by Transport Canada. It wasn't so much rejected as Transport Canada says they do not amend noise abatement procedures. What they do is start all over from square one. So we're in the process now of drafting a completely new noise abatement procedures, which will look just like the ones that we all agreed to, you know, up to 500 feet turns south at a certain heading. Nothing's changed. It's just that we're back to where we were four, five, 6 years ago. And if you remember back then, it took 2 years to put it through. Told that when our inspector gets the new procedures, he will try and push it, but it goes to an environmental inspector in Ottawa that makes the final decision. So that's where we are right now. that's being, the new procedures are being put in place. The problem is they want to know how public consultation was carried out. They want what forms were sent out, who said what to who, and it's a cumbersome procedure where prior to that we had it all in place. Questions on that, anybody? So meanwhile, the one we have, the noise abatement procedures we have right now are valid and enforceable, and for your information, we are still enforcing it, sending letters to transport where appropriate or letters to the individuals where we deem suitable. Okay?
The last one that I really just wanted to cover was the review also of the new helicopter training restrictions, and I'll turn that over to Jeff again.
We don't know when that's coming. With any luck, today's Wednesday. It might be in tomorrow's CFS. If it's in tomorrow's CFS, then those new procedures are now law. So we agreed that it would wait until the procedures were published before enforcing them, I guess is the word. We would not try for a PubSmen NOJA because at the time we felt we had lots of time because they don't start their training until late fall. I think the standard of those guys, they won't be doing anything for a while, so we've got some time. Anyway, tomorrow we'll find out if it's in there. If not, 56 days from now, almost for sure.
So is that stopping the training on Saturdays, is that included?
For helicopters?
Yeah. No training on Saturdays, as we discussed last time.
Discussion around the problem. Yeah, that's it. It's up to the airport manager, because there are situations, normal training, you're right. There are situations during, for example, fire season, if a pilot goes down for medical reasons and they need somebody, he can make allowances. So there's always a let in all these, but none of them is coming through into being at the moment.
So it becomes prior permission required.
It's PDR for everything, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And that's it for me.
Okay, does anyone else have any comments on previous business? Seeing no one, I will move on quickly. New business. So we'll start with number one. Paul has tendered his resignation from the committee as a member at large.
Not me.
No, Paul Andrews, sorry.
Close enough.
Yeah, you may want me to leave, but I'm not leaving.
Is there a delete button for that?
So at some point, and I'll get to this a little bit later, we will probably put out another call for committee members. Some of this will have to go to council, but I will get to that. Number two, Wayne Berry of the Call.
Can I ask a question on that?
Sure.
So is it only council's decision, or can the committee have some input into the decision on who comes on board?
For existing committee members, people would apply. So a public notification would go out.
Yeah.
People would apply, and I think, Bernadette, you'll have to clarify how they get selected. Generally, they're selected by proclamation because there's no one else.
Well, there's some committees are appointed through their peers, but this one is appointed through council, so it
okay.
has gone or will go through a in-camera meeting, and then it will be released into the public. And there was we've put that notice out, and we do have applications there that are being considered.
So Paul, what I'm hearing is you'd like some input on the selection process?
Absolutely, because through all the years, Shane Bryan's not here, we have seen people selected that have basically brought the committee to a standstill. And I can name a few names, and you could probably name them right now. If they were sitting on this committee, I'm telling you, it would just collapse. So, yes, I would like an input from our prison committee.
I will bring it forward.
Okay.
And one of the other things I just wanted to mention on this committee is, I guess over the past couple of years, we haven't really had a carrier. So we will probably expand this committee for carrier representation. Because right now we don't have anybody from a carrier on this committee, and there probably should be. And that would be a council position.
Sorry, can you explain that? What's the carrier representative?
Like any of the airlines. So whether it's Oceanside or Escuela, some carrier representation.
Aren't they both already in this meeting?
They are in this meeting, but if they attempt to speak on being a carrier in this meeting, it won't go very far. So they are allowed to sit in. Pavel is a representative from the private hangars, so he is not speaking as a carrier in this meeting.
Okay.
And they're not voting in this meeting as a carrier either. Okay, so I haven't talked very long, but I think it's enough. So new business number 5-3 roundtable. So this is your opportunity to start. And I'll start with you, Ian, because we don't see you that much. Oh, you're muted.
Hello?
Hey, here we are.
Oh, I thought you did that already.
Can't hear you.
We still can't hear you. But while we're waiting, I'll take the opportunity. I thought I did introduce us to Prep. I missed it. Wayne Berry from the Flying Club has retired. So you'll see Matt Salmon in this room. He is the representative from the Flying Club.
How about now?
Now we can.
Okay. sorry guys. Yeah, we just been working lots diligently. Adam and I have just been pedal to the metal. It's only us two in the back, plus we got Lorenzo, our chef. So sorry I couldn't be here in the previous meeting, but I'm here now. And anyways, the only questions we have is just with the airport getting busier now is just the parking situation for like our staff, for the new airlines, and for our patrons. So we just noticed that there are vehicles being left out there for long periods of time, whether or not, we don't know if they're staff or are or guests of the airlines, or if they're like Sunwest or anybody or even my staff. So we're just trying to figure out or what's the best way how we could just make it so, like our staff have an area to go parking and leave the rest out for the for guests and for restaurant people and obviously for travelers. I just don't know what the best way is, but it's just, we're just been talking about it, how the airport is starting all of a sudden getting busier. So that's what we are bringing forth today.
Would it not be possible to put placards in the cars that would require the parking spaces?
Yeah, that's a good point, Paul, because we've had a bit of this discussion already, and that everything could become a two-hour lot now, but anyone who has staff, the intent would be for us to print either a little card or a sticker or something that they can identify themselves and sort of have a designated parking area.
I think that would be great for everybody, for all the new airlines, for ourselves and for Sunwest as well, so they know that this is where it's going to be, so it's black and white.
Right.
Where are the airline customers supposed to be, or theoretically supposed to be parking? Is that the paid parking?
They should be parking in paid parking, yes. Anything else, Ian, or should we move on?
No, that's it. That's it for us. We're just so swamped at work. We're just like Adam and I are just doing all the cooking and stuff. It's pretty harsh, but we're just making a go of it. So one day at a time for us right now.
Well, you're doing a good job, Ian.
Thank you. We're trying.
Thanks, Ian. I'm going around in a circle here. So, Paul, you would be next.
I would just like to bring up that update on the hangar construction. Now, I was just interested, you know, after all that work's been done, is there any move to have more hangars?
I'll answer that without giving too much away. I have four serious requests to the point that they're willing to put a deposit down and build anywhere between 2 and 15 hangars. So there are two sort of larger companies that are acting on behalf of several clients, mostly from Alberta and the Lower Mainland, that are looking at developing most of Roby as soon as we're ready to go.
Okay. All right. I got one other thing. As you know, I asked for freedom of information on the airport revenues and expenditures, and I have it here, and I've actually got it on my desktop if you want to look. But there's a couple of questions. Do you have to know under operating expenditures what airport transport covers? Because each year it's like $140,000, $105,000. Have you any idea what that covers?
I don't know. I would have to have finance. And sorry, Paul, before you go much further, I don't see those freedom of information requests. They're private, so I wouldn't know what goes in them.
So I'd have to talk to John Marsh, is that right?
That's very likely, yes.
Okay, all right. That's about it.
Okay. I am going to go to this room, and I'll go to Matt, I guess.
So the club, we're doing pretty good. It's been great with CLAN there, with getting some younger people involved with aviation and some non-pilots getting their licenses and that kind of stuff. Like everything else right now with COVID, we're kind of been playing by ear on how we're doing for social events and all that. We've had a few barbecues that Mike's been a big help with, that have brought in quite a few people from out of town in to come and visit the airport. We also have been getting a lot of inquiries from private aircraft coming in here because it seems like the town's website doesn't have information about where they can tie down for periods of time that are detailed enough or who to contact with staying here for longer periods with knowledgeable people at it. So it seems like I think the number goes right to the town's front desk, if I'm correct.
Yes.
And it seems the front-end staff is not, lack of a better term, educated with the information to pass on to pilots or appropriate to the pilots that they're asking for. Okay. So I would probably think in the last summer, I probably had 20 to 25 inquiries of various people coming through.
If I can add something on there too, I believe the number in the CFS too for things like runway condition reports is again the same number to the front desk of the town hall. So if there were a pilot wanting to fly in on a winter day after it had snowed or something, was, you know, curious what the condition of the runway was, it would go to the front desk of the town hall. So again, it might be a big kind of runaround to actually get the information.
I'll just clarify that a bit, Mike, because the reason we use town hall number is because there's a 24-hour answering service. So during the day, agreed we could probably work on the education for where calls should be directed. But after that, it has to go to that same number because anything outside of business hours would go to the call service.
Got it. Thanks.
I do have one. Mike, Arnold, could I go again?
Sure.
The cleaning of taxiways, as you may have heard, that I got a few things on my propeller due to debris left on the taxiways. Is there any way of getting back to the old days when, you know, they get cleaned once a month or something like that? It doesn't seem to be done right now.
Yeah, we did have a discussion on that just yesterday, Paul. The topic has come up. And we are looking at options for that.
Okay.
One thing to remember I look around the airport lately. There's a lot of private trucks come onto that airport. There's one particular white one-ton dually that's been sitting for a while. There's a state truck down in your end of the woods. We have no control over what these guys have in their tires, and that's one of the issues. So even if we did sweep once a month, but day 28, there could be all kinds of junk. As Arnold said, though, we are looking at it. We're actually looking at trying to acquire an airport-certified sweeper. A normal sweeper with metal brushes is not legal on an airport. So we'll try to get something like that.
It seems to be, because I'm down in the same, or the other Chihanga from Boulder, it seems to be the really bad spot is a section in between that one main gate there, that's the lock gate, and then the pathway that comes out of there.
Yeah. It's loose gravel in the trucks, even cars for that matter, but they pick up debris, and then they drop it off in that first few feet, and they come on right in front of your place, Paul.
Yeah.
By the time they get up to the main apron, they pretty well don't have any. And we don't have a problem on the actual movement area of the airport. The white truck that runs around the staff truck with a yellow light never leaves airside. So that's why it does that. That's why you see it airside all the time, is to try and reduce the chance of fog on the tires. But we can't control all the private guys right now. But it's something, and your issue has brought this to a head. So thanks a lot. That was good. I'm working on it.
Okay.
Matt, continue, please. I think that's it there. It's just basically we've gotten a lot of more people involved with aviation with the flight training school and the airport there. And it's, I'd probably say, how many students you got there, Mike, roughly?
Probably about two dozen between me and the other instructor. And some are kind of on and off. Some are renters. But yeah, good probably two dozen or so at the moment. And through the summer is usually more.
Yeah, so I mean, I've been at that airport since 2000, 2001, and when we used to have two schools there, and it seems to be getting a lot more vitalization, as in the general public being around there and getting into flying and aviation as a hobby, per se, or a career.
Okay. Jeff, do you want to add anything?
Are there any questions or comments about fuel or the lack of aviation fuel, bad gas? I've been trying to send out as much information to everybody, but if you have any questions or you're not sure, it's just a general West Coast shortage of fuel. And for those, travel knows, but Vancouver ran out of fuel a couple of times last week as well, so we're not alone.
There's a bylaw, I believe, I can't remember exactly off the top of my head, that prohibits any business from keeping a backup storage of their own. If this is a continuing problem, can we revisit that clause that says we're not allowed to keep our own supply of gas at the airport? Because that it's a serious struggle for many of our businesses when there's no gas for, like, it was like a week, I think, the last time. The school, the airlines, the jump planes, like, we're all having to fly to other airports now, which puts us at an additional cost for operating out of Quality Beach when there's no gas.
I am aware of what you're talking about. I believe it's a clause in everybody's lease that they're not allowed to store fuel on site or distribute or something like that. The leases are something I will be, once this bylaw passes and the rates change, I'll be making appointments with every tenant out there to go over, basically do an audit of what's on their site and what's happening, because there are a few things that are there that shouldn't be there. And we'll have those discussions, but it is a good topic to bring up when we review those leases.
Anything else? Okay, so I'll move around the circle, and Pierre, I do see you there. Unfortunately, you don't have an opportunity to speak here. So let's move on to, I guess, Mike or Pavel, whichever of you wants to go first.
No, you go.
Fight for the other guy to go first.
And there's another one item about the small winter snow removal. How's that coming up? And then we can see the schedule.
So we will, because November 4th, everything is changing. The global reporting system will change and our requirements will change. We will be putting people through training within the next few weeks to update that, and we will need to sit down and look at our winter maintenance schedules and what our new requirements are. It still seems to be a little hazy on what the requirements are.
It is a requirement to sit down with both carriers, so we'll be doing that. So both the carriers and the town will be discussing winter maintenance.
So there is new requirements by the Transport Canada for the snow removal, or is something else?
It's part of the reporting system, the new requirements, but we're also, as our operating winter maintenance schedules or whatever those look like change, we are required to consult with the carriers.
Thank you.
Not accepting new business, but more, I didn't really get a chance to it when we were going over the old business, but in some of our previous meetings, we had all asked for, the research that was done to come up with the user fees, because we all agreed that they were too high, and that I remember it's unfortunate that Gore's not here, because he was the one who was concerned that it was actually going to put him out of business. I believe that was exactly said in those words, and so we requested the research that was done in order to come up with those numbers, because I don't think anybody on the committee can find anywhere in Canada where operators are being charged such enormous numbers. So we had asked for that concrete research, and I was wondering if that was actually brought to town council. Looking at the minutes, it seemed a little bit misleading where it said something along the lines of there wasn't serious objection to the user fees, which is totally not what I heard in our last meeting. Ford was seriously concerned that he's going to go out of business with these fees, and it's going to hit us quite hard as a flight school as well. And we're still waiting to see the proof and see if there was actually any thought to that. Small businesses that can't afford those increases in fees.
Jeff, would you like to start, or do you want me to start?
No, go ahead. You can start.
Mike, this is a double-edged sword, because I keep hearing how it's going to put Gord out of business. Right now he pays about $300-$400 a month in landing fees. This is not a significant change for what he is already paying. We're talking about $400 a month. I see 40, 50 people a day on weekends going through that jump school. So for Gord to say it's going to put him out of business, I have my reservation. The other part of this being the double-edged sword is he said he's bringing millions of dollars to this community in business, and I haven't seen that research either. And I keep hearing that from tenants. We bring millions and millions of dollars. I see a van come up to the airport and drop off four people, and they take off and they land somewhere else and go home. And I'm not seeing the millions of dollars either. Now, we did look at other airports, and Jeff can attest to that. We've asked other airports what they're doing. We've sort of looked at fee structures from, similar sized airports, whether it's Stefano or Boundary Bay or some of the other ones. For some of the people at the airport, their fees will go down. Brian Fellow's fees will go down. We are not out to hose everybody at the airport to, sorry for using the expression, but that is just not the case. The airport is expensive. It's funded by taxpayers. For Gord to say, well, you shouldn't charge me anything, it's just not realistic. It just isn't. And this is a bylaw. Bylaws can change. If we find a year or two from now that it is unrealistic, it can always be revisited. But I'm struggling to see how paying an extra $30 a month for Gord is going to put him out of business. I just am.
I was under the impression there was an extra $400. You said he's paying $300 to $400.
Let me interrupt, Mike. There's too much of this, I heard that. And that's the biggest problem. his people
it wasn't that. That. We went over the numbers in one of our meetings, and it was told to him that he was going to pay $800 or have to pay $800 a month, $400 per airplane.
But if he has two airplanes and he's doing a couple hundred landings, it would be more than $400 a month. The one plane that you report is about $400 a month.
Okay.
Now, if I read it right, though, in the bylaws there, if someone has a lease with the airport or with the town, then they get a free aircraft.
That is correct.
So in our example, where Mike's got an agreement, a sublease agreement with the town, his one aircraft would be covered.
I'm not going to say yes or no. I will get a legal opinion. But if he has a sublease with the town, it should be.
Okay.
But don't quote me on that because the lawyer may say something else.
Because right now we pay for the square footage of our lots.
Yeah.
Right? But if you have an aircraft tied down on your lease, the lease from the town charges the tie-down fee. Right?
Right.
So that technically means as a leaser, you don't get full use of your lease.
But he's not leasing from the town. He's leasing from you guys.
Right, but
we're also paying the town.
Paying the town. So he's got, in my mind, in the way I read it, he would have a lease agreement for one aircraft.
I agree.
The way that reads.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying, though, is if you're going to charge him to have one aircraft there and it's on our property and we can't charge him to the space of that aircraft,
right,
then we're getting charged over the square footage that we can use on that property. So then it would be everything inside of that building and not the whole lease is what's defined as the square footage.
Yeah, and this came up with the T-hangers, and it's a valid point because people were actually on their property, but they are being recorded as tied down and being charged extra title. And it is something I will look at, but it is a valid point. I don't disagree at all.
Yeah. So it's just hard for an operator when you're leasing from the town like they are through sublease to have another aircraft when you've got other operators coming through. There's no way to get them to find a register other than us basically snitching on them or,
yep,
on the other term of it, them being willing to self-report, which gives off operators off the airport an unfair business advantage when it comes to operating out of the airport.
I can tell you, though, that sublease issue that's going on would probably never happen again.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying, though, I can see how these operators are kind of upset, and so their counter is a way of billing people that are coming in and out.
Yes.
That are operating, because I understand someone's driving around, you guys are trying your best to tax people who are parking overnight, but if you got machines like helicopters coming in and out, which is a commercial operation,
right,
where you have small fixed wings out, because Mike could have a client renting the aircraft privately, is another story.
Yes.
But until that happens, I can see where the operators are kind of getting upset with that process.
Agreed.
Yeah. So I think the clarification is what everyone's upset on.
Okay.
Thanks, Matt.
No problem.
You are still up, Mike. Anything else?
I think this is another thing that we discussed in one of our last meetings, was just the idea of like an airport open house. I know Matt and I talked about that. I can't remember if that was actually brought up to the user committee or not on the last one. But it was just an idea that we were thinking about maybe for next year is to try to attract more of the local folks just to kind of see what goes on at the airport and why it's advantageous to the town in order to have one to help promote the citizen and airport relations, I guess, to have like a full kind of walkthrough.
I'm starting to worry you guys have a microphone in the airport office listening to Jeff and I's conversations because we had that discussion yesterday too. I like the idea. I think, you know, there is a video on YouTube about the Guelph Beach Airport. Our fear in part of our discussion yesterday is, you know, I think the open house needs to be positive and focused. What we don't want it to be is people showing up complaining about helicopter and air traffic noise. you know, having an open house somewhere is great, but what sort of detracts from that is the three or four people in the audience who constantly say, I saw a helicopter go over my house at 2 a.m. Right. So I do like the idea. It's something that is discussed. Obviously, COVID is putting a damper on a few things these days, but having an outdoor thing might be a good idea. I just don't want it to turn negative.
Yeah, absolutely understandable, and you're right. It would be hard to prevent, you know, the negative people from coming in and trying to voice their concerns. I think we could have just like a walkthrough type idea where even just this back taxiway here, we rope everything off and we allow all of the commercial operators to kind of showcase their staff and their airplanes and stuff, and we at least just stand outside and talk to anybody who's interested in conversing about what we do and what our, you know, services are and how they add value to the town and the local citizens and such. And, you know, could be fully outdoors and it could be a walkthrough type thing. And then it's up to the individual operators, I guess, and whoever else is there to talk to anybody who might have concerns.
And though I think a lot of that comes from the fact is we always, when you read everything about the minutes from all the council meetings and all that, it's always about the noise. It's never about how much revenue the airport generates. Like the budget, like I saw the budget and the sheet from Paul there. And yeah, the airport shows a loss. I think it was like 60,000 last year. But if you compare that to the tax dollars generated by the amount of people that work in the industry that is here and out just outside the local area, like even out of the town of Qualcomm, there's probably 300 to 400 employees that work in the aviation industry. It feels we only get the noise complaints. We never get any positive publicity going towards the town itself. Because even if the airport stays at a loss, compare that to a rec center, which is another public facility, is that really fair to say the airport has to work at a balanced budget when something like a rec center does not?
If I can add on that too, it kind of comes back to what Paul was saying too about unknown expenses. The largest expense that the airport incurs is this airport transportation or something, I think it was worded, which I saw as well, but which consistently is, I think it was like $60,000 to $100,000 or something like that per year. We need to get clarification what that is. I think, you know, just this group as we should be a team. We should be seeing how we can collectively bring revenue to the airport because it's in our best interest as well. But we also need to have clear view as to what the expenses are and if they're actually beneficial to the operations that happen here. Because $100,000 of airport expenses, like it boggles my mind what that is.
It's way over 100,000. Some of 166,000 in 2019.
But, yeah. Yeah. And it's classified as airport transportation expense?
Yeah, operating expenditures is the heading, and then the first one is airport transport. 120,000, 166,000, 148,000. I mean, it's just huge, and I have no idea what it means.
And, well, Paul, I just want to make sure I got the information right. You only got one or two sheets when you did your Freedom of Information request, right?
That's true. So I've got each year, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21. But prior to that, because I asked all the way back to when the town took over the airport, so I've got gaps here. 2011 to 2015, there was only one given to me. So there's 4 years. Don't tell me that each year didn't have an end-of-year revenue and expenditure. And same thing with 2006 to 2010. Only one line was given. So 2001, 2005, 96 to 2000. So there's a lot of stuff that was missing in this document that I was giving. And of course the question remains, why is this missing? Was it deliberate? Or, because I cannot believe that each year John Marsh did not put in some kind of end of year expenditure report. So they're there somewhere, it's just that I wasn't given them, and that was meant to be under the Freedom of Information.
And usually if you get that information, the past ones I've gotten from the Ministry of Transportation, you should get a lot more than just a couple pages.
Yeah, this is pretty minimal. So anyway, I know I'll have to talk to John Marsh about it, but to see whether I get an answer or not.
Yeah, as I said before, Paul, unfortunately I can't speak to it because I don't see the request or the result of the request.
Okay.
I think that should be something that we look to change, the fact that these financials are needed to be requested. If it comes back to us as the operators to be financially responsible for helping the town help the town be profitable, and that's obviously your intent too, Arnold, then we should have full disclosure as to what that means, numbers, numerically, numbers-wise.
It's good in theory, Mike. Unfortunately, we're a public entity, and we report a certain way just like every other public entity, and we're required to do a certain amount. And anything like that, you would have to request. Like, if it's not part of the public record, we would produce what we normally do for the public record, and it would be up to people to request that information. That is how our system works, unfortunately.
But you'd think you'd get a little bit more transparency with a freedom of information request than other
people. I'm not going to go into great detail on this and cover this. A freedom of information request has to be very specific, and there are things that are redacted for certain reasons. So that is a discussion you would need to have with our corporate administrator. Mike, it is still you. Anything else to add, or are we done?
That's all.
Okay.
See you.
I think that pretty much takes us to the end. So I'm going to just sort of briefly ask, I have one other question in the roundtable, and then we'll go to future agenda items and a bit more of a discussion if anybody else has anything. I got asked the other day what happened to the log. I assume one of our town staff took it. Has anybody seen the log that used to say Qualicum Beach Airport? I know it was quite rotten. It was the Rotary Club that put the sign up. And I think when we removed some trees, we took it down and put it somewhere. Does anybody know if anybody requested it or has seen it since?
Would that be where they cut down the trees before Aerosmith went in?
No, it was as you come in on Ravensbourne.
Yeah.
Just before you make that last turn into the new parking area, there was a little group of trees.
Well, I know
there's a log that said Qualicum Beach Airport.
I'm trying to figure out when it disappeared because I haven't noticed it for quite a while now.
Yeah, it's probably been a couple of years. It was before I took over, but I was just curious if anybody was aware of where the log went.
Who was removing those trees? That was town or control?
That would have been the town, yeah.
Then it should be somewhere in the town property.
You would think that. Nobody seems to know what happened to it, so I don't know if anybody actually requested it or what. So we have had the Rotary Club come forward with maybe some kind of a request for some kind of new sign, sort of honoring their contribution towards the airport.
Yeah, that's history. That's where it all started from, Rotary Club.
Yeah. So, that maybe is a future discussion point if anybody has any ideas or suggestions on a good way to sort of honor the Rotary Club with a plaque or sign at the airport.
Sorry, I've got one other quick question. You kind of reminded me. I've got a little sandwich board outside that I'd like to put out by the road. Am I able to do that somewhere along the entrance to the airport? Or do I need
a good question. In this town, we have a bylaw that basically says your sandwich board has to be within 2 meters of your place of business. Out at the airport, that's not realistic. And I know the restaurant has the same thing, where, they'll put a sandwich board out. And I'm discouraging that type of thing, because if every business at the airport put a sandwich board out sort of close to the road, we'd end up with a line of about half a dozen sandwich boards at some point. What I am currently in the process of doing is working with a company where we would put a large sign, a large structure out towards Laburnum Road, and everybody would get about a 2-foot by 4-foot space to put a sign up. So that's kind of the plan for either late this year or early next year.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah.
In the meantime, can I apply for a permit to put one kind of like at the entrance of the parking lot where it splits off? Like, it doesn't need to be at the road, like of Laburnum, right? But you can just like at the beginning of the parking.
Yeah, you can apply for one. It would be Rebecca that
and planning that approves those. That's sort of not my jurisdiction. So it is on private property because we do own it. So, if you are applying for it, you can make the argument that it is on private property. It's not just out on our land.
Okay, perfect. I'll do that. Thanks.
So, I know this was a short agenda. It was, and we had some technical difficulties, but is there anything for future agenda items or discussion that somebody really wants to talk about? And then keeping in mind our next meeting is May, but if it's a pressing issue, we can always call a meeting in between. I'm going to take that as a no. I'll ask one more time if anybody has any future agenda items. Nope. Seeing none, I will move to number 7, adjournment. So do we have a motion to adjourn?
Yes, we do.
And a seconder?
I'll second it.
Matt will second. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Bye.